You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Number one pick in the 2015 NBA draft goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Flip Saunders, did we see you doing a cartwheel in that room at one point? Was that you doing a cartwheel in the back in a keg stand?
Well, I was excited. You know, and I'll tell you what, I love talking to you guys. Judd, Mick, I love talking to you guys. Hey, but I got a couple points of contention with your other people there at 1500.
Yeah.
Oh, fire away. Yeah, the floor is yours.
First of all, your update, guys, at 8 o'clock. We always talk about the negativity of time. Here we have something positive, and your update, guys, local update, come and say, well, they got the number one pick. Those guys are going to be sorry that they might have to come to Minnesota. I'm paraphrasing it.
If we could track down that update guy and put him on the air with you right now, would you like to actually say something to his face?
Another guy at 1500 I'm going to really lace up is your guy Doogie. Because Doogie, contrary to what he believes, that there were a lot of people excited about the draft, and Doogie comes out and he says that, relatively that there wasn't excitement, that the ratings were like a 1.4. Now, I did work at ESPN. I have some contact people. His ratings there and radio are about a 1.4, so I guess he's not relative either. So I don't know what we're doing here, but, I was going to tell you, don't get into a fight with someone that's got information. I call Bruce Bernstein. I call his guys right directly, Skipper, or whatever, find out what's going on.
Hey, Flip, is there anyone in the local media who calls you more, though, than Doogie himself?
He doesn't call me because I don't answer his calls.
See, that's what happens.
It's over,
see,
huh?
He's got to learn. I feel like Doogie's the guy who goes on one.
Three, 4 days ago, I put him on suspension. I suspended him, put him on probation. And after today, it's turning to indefinite probation.
Yeah, he's kind of the guy. He'll go on a first date. It goes really well, but then he starts texting an hour later and then calls you the next day and then leaves like five voicemails. He's got to back off the throttle a little bit.
No question. Yeah.
All right.
Contrary to that, we are excited, to be on with you guys. I do listen to you guys in the morning, so I like to, and everything else. So it's good to be on with you guys.
Flip, what's the most confident you've ever been, any franchise you've been a part of in any role, what's the most confident you've ever been when your team has drafted a player? What's the most sure you've ever been about a draft pick?
We were definitely sure about Garnett. We were just hoping Garnett was going to be there at number five because both Kevin and myself, he was the best player. He's just that, since no one had in 25 years had drafted a high school kid, everybody else was afraid really to take him. We were very confident. We were confident in Marbury. We were confident in Zurbich that they were going to be pretty good players. Mm-hmm. I think there's no question. I was in Washington. We were extremely confident that Wall was going to be a good player, and he was the number one pick. So I think those are probably the main guys. And of course, we didn't draft Wiggins, but Wiggins and we're confident last year. I think one of you guys was maybe there at the press conference with Levine. Mm-hmm. That we thought Levine, you said, hey, we're going for the fences. We think he's got a chance to be a home run player, not just a single double type guy.
How much pressure now, Flip, does this put on you, good or bad, to have this pick and now be able to make the decision on who you're going to take?
Well, you know, so I was saying that there are some people around the league, and some organizations, well, yeah, we'd like to have the second pick. That way, you know, we don't screw up the number one pick. But I said, give me the number one pick. Okay, give me an opportunity to have enough confidence in our ability to evaluate the guys, not only on their skill level, but also on their basketball IQ, how they're going to fit in with the players that we have, you know, with Wiggins, with Levine, with hopefully Garnett coming back, and Rubio, and, and some of our veteran guys, and Martin. So, there might be pressure, but you'd rather have that than be, right, you know, be down a ways, and you're going to have the same pressure anyway. You know, no matter where you pick, you got to pick the right guy. You know, that's the number one thing. When you have the number one pick, you just have more flexibility to hopefully pick that right guy, more options.
Hey, Flip, when that top pick came up last night, how certain are you at this point of who that player is going to be?
You know, a lot of people, there's been a lot of things come out. There's been a lot of things come out from a perspective of, you know, that we're settled on someone. I can tell you right now that we are really open. You know, all the guys I said going into the draft, you know, yesterday is interesting because I was pretty much at ease. And I told Glenn when they were going out there, I said, Glenn, you got no pressure, because if we get number four, you know, I'm going to be happy with number four. I'll be happy with 3, 2, or 1. So we kind of went in with the idea that really no expectations, not thinking that everything, you know, rode on, you know, winning the lottery or getting that number one pick. So from that perspective, like I said, we were pretty much at ease. Now, as things start going, you know, an hour before the lottery, my heart rate was 59. You know, when we got into the lottery, it went up to about 69. You know, three picks later, it was at 85. When it got to the final six players, I think I was at 95. It was 115 at the final three, and by the last one, because I had it on my watch, I was at 124. So I don't know if that's healthy. You know,
no, that probably isn't.
But,
no.
You know, but it shows you from a excitement standpoint. I'm sure a lot of people are like that.
You know, Flip Saunders is with us here on Mackey and Judd. You know, we went through a list here yesterday of the last 15 years, just looking at the number one pick and the number two pick. And it's you have to go back probably to 1999 to find two star players, two guys who, at least for a five-year period, really were looked at as star players, Elton Brand and Steve Francis, and they both kind of dropped off after a few years. But almost every year, Flip, it's Kevin Durant or Greg Oden, LaMarcus Aldridge or Andrea Bargnani. So how do you, if it is sort of an either-or, how do you know?
I think there's a couple factors. Number one is that when you look at some of those, the body of work behind them weren't totally there on some of them. You know what I mean by that? When you look at Bargnani, he really played overseas, so he hadn't really played here. There wasn't a whole total body of work to make that evaluation. You know, I feel that these guys have had that. You can go back down farther, and you can look at a situation where you had Hakeem Olajuwon at number one, you had Michael Jordan at number three.
Right.
So I mean, it just matters who comes out. I will say this though, over the last four or five years, you know, a lot of people use the word tanking. There's been people tank to try to get the number one pick last year and to get the number one pick this year because everyone thought that these were 2 years that were huge in the draft. Next year's probably not going to be as good, you know, in reality. So based on that, I think there's going to be, you know, at least three guys here. They're going to be all pro type players in this draft. So, I mean, it's a very heavy top weighted draft.
Chad Ford says you guys are trading Ricky Rubio this week. What's going on with that report?
Well, Chad Ford, first of all, they took him off the set at ESPN. So I think his, based on the fact that he's changed some of his ratings over the years, you know, he comes out with ratings, and then all of a sudden the ratings are not what he said they were. And so he came back a year later and tried to change them. So, so his credibility is not, you know, quite there. So that's, he had something in there that, you know, there are people that talk to us about a trade that has never, ever happened. And Ricky talked to me the other day about, you know, wanting to come in to, you know, to watch, you know, some of the workouts and everything else with these guys. So that's totally untrue.
Hey, Flip, is there an offer that you could get that would cause you to consider trading this pick?
Yeah, I'm never going to say never, but I'd say it'd be very difficult. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Wiggins at 19, you have Levine, you know, basically at 19 or 20. You got Gorgui Dieng at 23. You got Muhammad at 22. our core of our young players are in that range. You're going to bring in another guy and another pick at 31 that's going to, you know, be pretty good on your team. You know, they're all together. You like to see those guys grow, you know, together. And, you know, will we win maybe as big as you want right away? You know, maybe not, but maybe. You know, I don't, you know, that's you have to see when you get them all together. But I don't think you want to, the more superstar potential all-star players you can have that have the same window, the better chance you have for your team to have a long run, you know, similar to what, you know, Oklahoma City had in, you know, in their situation with Durant and with, you know, also Durant and Westbrook and even, you know, I mean, Harden. I'm sure they look back right now and they wish that they probably hadn't been there with Harden too, you know, from that perspective.
Sure. Towns and Jahlil, break them down for me. And is there anything right now that separates the two of them and gives one of them an advantage?
You know what? They have dissimilar strengths. What I mean by that is that Okafor is probably the most fundamental low post player to come out since Duncan. You know, what I mean by that is he can get shots with his feet. He's got great footwork, you know, great hands, and just has the ability, you know, to score. You know, I mean, he's one of led the country in field goal percentage, one of the top three or four over the last, you know, 15 years. So he's got phenomenal low post ability to play. You know, Towns is more of a, you know, maybe a stretch a little bit, you know, very athletic, long, better defender, better shot blocker, better as far as in pick and roll. So they have dissimilar. So, I mean, but you've got one guy that's, you know, maybe the best low block guy in 20 years. It's going to dominate. It's going to come in and score 18 to 20 a game, you know, get you into 8 rebounds. And you got another guy that you could have a different impact. So it's just what's going to be the best for your team. And then and not only now, but also in the long run.
So gun to the head right now, which one do you take?
Come on, you know I'm not asking that.
I know, but I just wanted to, like a judge.
I just wanted to try.
Reaching his hand further in that cookie jar right now.
Hey, now, if your update guy hadn't said anything, I might have answered it.
I know. Kenny Olsen.
So hold on a second. So Dave Harrigan, you're half of the morning update team, and you're denying that you made this sarcastic comment.
Well,
you're putting this on Kenny Olsen.
I like to say I'm two-thirds of the update team, Flip, and I was very positive. It was Kenny Olsen, the traffic guy, who's normally very surly and was extra surly today. He made the comment. Don't put that on me. It's the traffic guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. You guys got to, you know, there are, believe it or not, there are people listening to your show.
Well, you know, that's a good thing, but I can't control what he says.
They just don't run away when the update comes on. You know, so they're going to listen to you a little bit. So, you know, and so when they're listening to you, you got to watch, you know. Let's say, I like I said, having done some TV and done radio with ESPN when I was out there, I'm pretty much aware of what all goes into all that. So you got to watch.
Is there anybody else?
Kind of like Twitter.
Before we part ways, is there anybody else here? Do you want to rip Royce? You got like a minute left here if you want to rip anybody else. The floor
Royce,
is yours.
No, right. Hey, Royce is my guy. I know he likes to get on me and everything else, but he's my guy. Hey, we used to play cards back when I was in the Gophers. I think he's just mad because he used to kick his butt in cards.
Yeah, I bet he dumped money, didn't he? Yeah, he was an ATM machine.
That's probably true. Hey, Flip. Yeah. Hey, Flip, from a cultural standpoint, what did it mean to win the deal last night after a team, I believe this was your 19th one overall, and you had never moved up before, but what's worse is I think this is your third time that you had the worst record and you didn't win it. What did it mean from a cultural standpoint for this franchise to win last night?
Well, I think, you know, there's been so much about that we've been, you know, stake bitten. You know, there's a curse and everything else. And I think what it does is that it shows, hey, there's not. And we got a lot of things going. I mean, we had a tough year at 16. But as I told a quick story, I know you guys got to head out here, but I told a quick story that when the season ended, I had to go out of town to Phoenix. And the next day, and as I was going, I had 10 people come up and congratulate me. We won 16 games. I was in Detroit. We got to the conference finals, lost game 7, won 66 games. For the next month, no one would speak to me. You know, so I think everything's all based on perception. But we got a good young group. We just moved into a new $29 million state-of-the-art practice facility. We're going to have, going to be redoing our arena here, you know, over the next 2-3 years. So we do have some things going in the right direction. I think this is just one more thing that adds to that. And so you look at where we were a year ago at this time, and we're wondering what are we going to do with Kevin Love. And so we've been able to take a bad situation and make it a positive and move on from there.
Ideal world, Flip Saunders coaches for how much longer?
You know, I said this. You know, I'm going to coach until I have someone I feel is going to be a long-term solution for us. And when I mean by that is somebody that is that we share a lot of the same values and what we're trying to do. And, I mean, you know, people might understand this, but This past year, with four games left, we were a game behind three games that we were a game behind New York, and we lost the last three games. New York won two games. They went down and beat Orlando at Orlando, and they beat Atlanta, mm-hmm. and they beat Atlanta. And so what happened is we went from a situation of being in second to all of a sudden having the worst record, getting the number one seed. If they would have lost those two games today, you'd be talking about we had the fourth pick instead of the first.
Yeah. Little D'Angelo Russell, so, he might look good too, though, if he falls to four. He's a pretty good player.
You know what? Listen, D'Angelo Russell, the Porzingis kid, you know, he might be the most talented kid in the draft. The kid from Latvia that's playing over in Spain. Mm-hmm. Moutier and Carly Stein might be he's by far probably the best defensive player in the draft, can play all five positions. So, and there's a lot there. Like I said, there's a lot of good players in this draft.
How about you shock us and take Frank
to the Olajuwon Jordan draft?
How about Frank the Tank? Frank the Tank, number one. Why don't you shock us all?
You know, Frank's going to be, he's going to be a lottery pick. He'll have an opportunity. He's a, you know, like I said, he's another good player. You had a great career at Wisconsin, even though it's tough to go with those guys that beat up on Minnesota like they did. So, I do have some loyalty. I got some maroon and gold in me, too.
Yeah,
so.
The list is
very difficult,
yeah.
Flip.
All right, Flip, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, now, you notice one thing, though. I didn't get on you guys. I like you guys. So.
Well, you're welcome to.
You're welcome to
take shots whenever you want to.
Okay, just trying to put those update guys on notice.
So are we,
though. Love you, Flip.
Okay. We'll make sure they're held accountable. Flip. We'll make sure that they are held accountable.
Thanks, Flip. Right.
Bye, Flip.
Talk to you.
Hey, always good talking to you guys. Have a good one.
All right, yeah, Flip Saunders, president of basketball operations. I feel like Dave's an accomplice of this.
I feel like
you guys didn't
really have my back on
is
that.
Is Dave part of the morning update team? I guess that's my question. Do you consider yourself a teammate of Kenny Olsen? Because if you do, you just sold him way down the river.
Well, I'm just telling you the facts of what happened. We can replay it later if you'd like to. We can get what actually happened this morning and dissect it if you want.
I would sleep with one eye open tonight if Kenny was listening to that segment.
Sports, sports, and more sports.